Welcome in to the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt, with Jack Withrow minus Brandon Lowe and plus Grant Trailer today. I'm Ryan Pritt.
Whoever wants to show up.
Yeah. It's just become the podcast with three dudes from some companies that have some part of the show now. So I'm glad to be back. I missed Friday, right? Had a little bit of a situation we can talk about here in a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. That was interesting.
Yeah. Had a water rescue in front of my house from my father, but hey, we'll get to that in a minute. We got Grant Trailer beside me. It looks like, you know, Jack, when there's those real life depictions of somebody and they get an actor that's just way better looking than the guy they're portraying, this is what this looks like over here.
Boom, right here.
Sorry, Brandon.
It's crazy.
What's up, Grant?
Hey, nothing. It's good to be here. Obviously, love being with you guys, too, and talking sports. And just an exciting time of year. You know, the weather's getting better. Sports are getting good. So, a lot of fun.
Jack doesn't want to hear about weather getting better. Neither do I. Jack was stuck in Glenville till 3 o'clock in the morning last night, right?
It was rough. Mountain East Conference track and field championships. The first day is always a long day because you have the decathletes out there and the decathlon. Sorry if I mumble my words this morning, but
he's dragging a little bit.
After midnight.
Should have gave him one of these monsters.
Very true.
Yeah, but we had that going, and it was just a long day. Of course, I was up there for 2 days with video productions, and the Mountain East were doing their championships now. And so got to the last event, which the last two events were the 10,000K for women and 10,000K for men. So they run the women's, and the men get out on the starting line. They call for the starter. He walks out the tent and immediately walks right back in. Of course, they have radar systems, you know, beyond my knowledge, but they can pinpoint lightning, and so they had lightning in the area. So it was a two-hour delay. It was originally supposed to go off for 7:55 or 7:45, and it finally went off at 9:55 last night for the 10K for the men. And they
for one event.
Yeah.
And that's in Glenville.
Yeah, in Glenville, so I'm sitting in Glenville. And I get a text from my wife, dinner's ready, like at 7:30. I'm like, but I never did see it because I didn't. But
hope you
in the downtime, I saw it. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it.
It's in foil in the refrigerator when you get back with a note that said, I tried really hard.
It's on the couch. Don't wake me up.
Yeah, exactly. So a long day.
I had my brush with weather Saturday. The MSAC softball tournament was just awesome, as people who probably
speaking
live
of weather,
within a mile or two
right here.
Yeah, Spencer would have helped us Saturday.
Hanging out with us.
That was a never. It never goes to courting. And then I love that Luke Creasy, who works at the HD now, the Marshall writer, is he's like retweeting my tweets, like, man, this poor guy. And then I look up and he's in a 24-4 baseball game.
Wow. And not only that, but it was a 4-hour delay for a 25-4 baseball game.
25-4.
Charlotte hits 8 home runs in the game. Like, wow. It was
not a good week.
Yeah. It was, I was going to say, I mean, Ryan, with you, which one was more weird, Friday or Saturday? Because, like, you and I mean, you Friday had a wild weekend. I was telling Luke that whenever he and I talked on the phone. I was like, listen, Pritz had a 24-hour stretch that I don't envy whatsoever.
So Friday was just terrifying, and I'll tell a story real quick. But first, we will have Marshall catcher Katie Adams here in just a few. Public speaker extraordinaire, the maybe the worst base runner in the history of Hurricane High School, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Friday, I'm ready to come in, man. I'm in the shower, you know. We're gonna be on the show. Brandon's here, and you're here, and we have no guests, so we're just gonna
kick it,
shoot it for a while, you know. And I'm ready to go. I'm gonna step out of my shower, and my phone just happens to be buzzing while I'm standing there, butt naked, as Neil Brown would say.
How you do the shower thing?
Naked. And it's my dad, and I'm like, hey, man, I got him on speaker. He's like, hey, I need you to come get me. I said, okay, where you at? To the boat ramp. Now, Grant will tell you, having been to my house, that's about, what, 100 yards?
150
yards?
Yeah, not far at all.
Yeah, so I'm like, what do you mean I need to come get you? Why don't you just drive down here? Well, I'm in the back of an ambulance. Okay, I'll be right there. I don't know what's going on, so I get out of the shower and I throw some clothes on and I drive down the street, and there's three fire trucks, the Nitro Fire Department's there, POCA's there, there's an ambulance parked down by where the boats go in the water, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I run down there, and I'm like, hey, what happened? And he's like, oh, you're, are you his kid? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, he said you were going to come get him. His boat sank. I said, what? He said, yeah, he was out kayaking, and it sank. I said, he just got it. Yeah, I know. Look out there, and you look out in the river, and sure enough, they're towing my dad's kayak down the middle of the Kanawha River, like from a half mile down. I mean, it was. And so I finally get to him, and he's like trying to like basically fight the ambulance people to get out of there, because that's, you know, what that's like. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how us old dudes do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably be the same way. And well, as the story goes, he had just gotten a kayak from Dick's. Yeah, I'm going to throw this company under the bus today. So they don't sponsor us, right? They charge too.
They don't now.
They charge too much for stuff anyway. And apparently, this kayak had a huge gash on the bottom of it. So he, without, I mean, you're not going to flip your kayak over, you know, and look at, I mean, you're just going to roll it out and go, assuming that it's never been used. So he goes from the POCA side of the canal to the Winfield side and is fishing the opposite bank. Notice it's getting a little wobbly, turns around and makes it to about the middle before the nose just plunges under the river. And he is clutching a kayak for dear life. And said he was treading water for 30, 40, 50 minutes. He didn't know, but somebody finally drove by on 62 up above the boat ramp and just happened to look out and see him floating there. He was like, hey, do you need help? He's like, yeah. So they call 911, and by the time 911 got there, he was actually in front of my house. He was like, the only thing I was hoping is that you would just look out your window. And I'm like, oh, my God, if this would have went wrong, how bad would I have felt for the rest of my life just knowing I could have looked up? But thank God, you know, 15 minutes after we got him out of there, a barge went up the river. So if that happens while you're out there, you're gone. And got him to my house. And when we got him there, we got a thermometer, and his temperature didn't even register. It was one of the digital ones, so it was under 92 degrees. And a few hours, some sweaters, long underwear, portable heater, some hand warmers later, we got him back, and he's ready to go again. So it's an unbelievable story, but he's got a lawsuit, I think. They lost all of his fishing poles, his fishing tackle, his boots, everything. So.
And that's what he's going to be the most mad about.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was like, why didn't you just swim to shore? And he said, well, first, I was holding on to that kayak because I paid $4,000 for it. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and second, by the time I treaded water for 5 minutes and it was cold as it was, like, my muscles were locking. I couldn't have made it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what, do you think he was going to go? He's like, yeah, I thought I was going to die. He's like, oh, that's pretty terrifying. So
he did have a life vest, though, right?
He bought it the day before, was not going to wear it, and decided at the last second to put it on.
Yeah.
So key thing there, guys. Wear your life jackets.
Yeah.
And maybe the first time you try a kayak, put it on a pond.
Or turn it upside down.
Inspect it. Yeah, just, you know, do something.
Kick the tires.
Yeah, just don't put it on the biggest river in the state. Just right out of the gate. But no, it's something I'll be giving him hell about for the next 20 years now, and I'm glad that it worked out that way for sure, but... I mean, I was texting you guys at 11, like, hey, hold on a second. I got to go check something.
Check my dad first.
Got to make sure my dad doesn't have hyperthermia. So that's why I wasn't here Friday.
Well, it's one of those deals where he calls me, and, like, I'm trying to figure out schedules for the day. And I think I was on my way to Marshall softball to cover them at 1, and he calls me, and he's like, hey, I might have to call off today. And he sounded like it was like an uncertain type deal. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, what's going on? He told me the story, and I was like, why are we talking about work right now? Like, I'm not worried about, I think it was Logan and Winfield softball or something they had. It's like, listen, man, that's not, like.
The best part.
What did you just go through? Like, I can't believe it.
I get down there, and WCHS and WOWK are standing up there filming, and I'm like, I get in the back of the ambulance, and if you know my dad, he's a pretty shy guy. He's not. And I'm like, Dad, come on, man. We got to go up here and do these interviews. He's like, the hell we do? And we get home, and it's noon, and I turn the TV on, and there it is. Like, the lead story on the noon news.
And that's the moment that he was talking to me on the phone. He's like, well, hell, we're famous.
Yeah. So,
pretty wild. Everything worked out so well, though. Yeah, I mean, it could have been so much worse.
It's great that we can sit here and joke about it. He's actually in South Carolina now, driving to Florida, where I will be flying out to tonight. So
more fishy.
Yeah, we're not going to put any kayaks in the ocean. We're just going to do it on the rocks, I think. So hopefully everything can go according to plan this week. But, yeah, going to take a few days.
Where do you guys go down there in Florida?
We're going to St. Pete this week, and then we'll be making a trip to Orange Beach in July, which is Alabama, right there next to Pensacola, I think. So,
if you're going to St. Pete, Columbia Restaurant, it's the best. Marshall played in, like, I don't know, 6 St. Pete bowls in like 8 years or something like that. I felt like I was there every single year, and I feel like I know that place better than. I mean, they went through 3 different sponsorships with Marshall in that nice little stretch of. It was Bad Boy Mowers. It was all sorts of stuff. The city of St. Pete.
So. That's the best thing about traveling with him for work. You can go to Russia, and he'll be like, "Dude, there's a restaurant, okay, right there on the corner of whatever," and dude. It's the best food you'll eat, man.
I'm a 400-pound guy and a 200-pound body, and I don't know why.
Tell looking at us, I eat a quarter as much as he does. and I get huge, and he just walks around like, okay, I need to eat again. Lunch was an hour ago. I'm like, dude, I'm not eating until next week. What are you talking about? So,
I love me some food.
Yeah. All right, well, it's about that time. You want to take a break here, bring Katie on, and see what she's got to say for a little while?
Yep.
Let's do it.
We'll do it. We'll be back.
All right.
Stay tuned.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Brandon Lowe with Ryan Pritt with Grant Traylor with Jack Withrow with No Brandon Lowe Show. Is that better that time? I'm just working on how I can say it.
You nailed it.
All right, cool.
That's pretty good.
That was right in a row. It's almost like I was rehearsing that. That's how good I am.
I got to make a new graphic now.
We are joined today by Marshall Ketcher, 2-time State Player of the Year, public speaking extraordinaire, one of the worst base runners I've ever seen. This is Katie Adams.
Hello.
How are you, Katie? Listen,
you're never going to let me live that down.
Well, I had to bring it up because literally I was covering a game in Hurricane the other day, and I was talking to Megan right after a tough loss. And she said, you know, if you look out on those signs out there, you won't see an undefeated season. And I said, yeah, because Katie Adams doesn't know how to tag up at first base, right?
I know. I got so excited. Every bit of softball knowledge that I had went out the window. Yeah, that's always going to be the one blemish that gets to look out in the outfield and see. But it worked out for us.
Yeah, I think
I was going to say, how many wins did you help produce in your 4 years at Hurricane? And
I don't know about the how many wins, but I know about exactly how many losses.
Yeah, well, as long as I'm around, you're never going to forget
it's
that
always
one,
that one time.
And the public speaking. And the public speaking thing's on you.
Hey, that dinner was yesterday, by the way. I thought about signing you up to come in and, like, so keynote speak.
Well, it was funny. After our senior day, we had a social with our parents and the coaches at Fat Patty's, and Coach Smith walks up to me and she said, you know, we're going to let you all get up and speak for a minute if you all want to. And my mom even looked at me and she said, this is just like the dinner again, all over again. I know.
For those that don't know, I got to give a little preface on those stories. Katie was the 2-time State Player of the Year, and as part of that, you appear at the Victory Awards dinner, where I introduced her, but she did not know she had to give an acceptance speech, and we didn't tell her until she had to go do it. So she was, I think you didn't talk to me for about 6 months after that. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, and then I get a text. You come into the next year's dinner? I think I'm busy that day, Ryan.
And then the first story, this is what year was it, Katie? What year was 37?
That would have been my senior year, so 2017.
17. Hurricanes undefeated. They're playing at home. They're in a 2-2 game, 7th inning, bases loaded. Literally the fastest kid who's ever played softball in the state of West Virginia standing on third base. Is that pretty accurate, would you say, Katie?
Well, see, the thing is that Kirsten also took off. If you watch the video back, she takes off like it's 2 outs too, as well.
Okay.
And I'm just the one that ended up getting doubled off.
So, you got Kirsten Landers, who, I'm not kidding, probably is the fastest player in the history of the state, standing on third base.
100%, yeah.
Bases loaded. Katie's on first. And was it Scruggs that hit a fly ball to center field?
Yeah, I think senior year it went Kirsten, Jamie, me, Paige.
Yeah, so
Scruggs, he probably would have been up to bat.
Yeah, Scruggs lifts a fly ball into the outfield. It's caught. this is the easiest sack fly. That I mean, Kirsten Landers could run backwards home that fast.
I could have just sat down on first base and we would have won
again. And Katie's running off of first base like there's two outs, and so the outfielder throws back to first and doubles her off before Landers scores.
I'm not the fastest person. And then probably one of the slowest players in West Virginia softball history.
And then it goes to extras, and Huntington throws a three spot, and Josh Caldwell goes scorched earth on his team for about 20 minutes, so...
That's a tough one.
Yeah, there are way more highlights in this career than
Let's talk about the winning states.
I was going to say, I seem to remember that you delayed a couple softball games by hitting bombs onto the field at Vienna. So you know,
yeah.
But that never gets talked about now. We're
getting to that. We're going to talk about that now. Let's start. Now with where you're at now, though, pretty good season for the herd down there. Would you guys finish your regular season? You got one more series, is that right?
Yeah, so we go to North Texas this upcoming week to finish our regular season. And luckily with the travel, that's where the conference tournament is being held. So we can just stay in Texas we don't have to fly back. And, you know, it's not going to be as rough of travel. We'll already be there. But yeah, we'll finish up at North Texas, and then the conference tournament will start Wednesday.
So 32-14, and what, 20-1 at home? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Only lost coming on Senior Day this past Saturday, but
that's your Senior Day too, right?
Yep. Yep.
Katie, you just you went 5 years.
They're finally kicking me out.
Well, talk a little bit about the season and what you guys have been able to do, especially at home. That's a hell of a mark, even with the one loss there.
Yeah, I think we set the record for highest win percentage at home. I mean, playing at the Dot, having our own fans, it's like we just feed off of our fans at the Dot. I mean, we have a great crowd that comes out. I mean, not just parents, but people in the community that come out and support us every weekend. I think that has a lot to do with, you know, our success that we've had at home. And just all season we've, you know, we're working together as a team. You know, everyone enjoys being around each other. We've had fun all season, and I think that definitely has helped with the success we've had so far.
Well, Katie, you mentioned that series coming up this week. There's no bigger series in Conference USA softball this year than what's coming up this weekend. You all are locked in a tight battle for first place. North Texas is the number one seed in the West, and looks like they've got that locked up. How big was yesterday? And you all sort of struggled a little bit. I mean, offensively, you all were trying to find it. It's like the first game and a half of the Western Kentucky series was electric, and you all had it. And then for two or three games, it seemed like everybody was struggling. Yesterday, five home runs in the first three innings and a 13-2 win. How big was yesterday going into North Texas this weekend?
Oh, it was definitely good to just get back on track. I mean, our offense had definitely struggled. I mean, even in the first two games of the series against UTEP, we only scored four runs, which is, you know, really uncharacteristic of our offense. So it was good to just, you know, get back to ourselves before we head into that big series at North Texas. I mean, I don't think in the past years that I've been here, there's never been this close of a race for first place. With us being tied with WKU, it's kind of leaving it, like, up to – you know, how our series goes with North Texas and what happens, you know, in other series that are going on. So it's exciting for sure.
Obviously, you're not trying to look past this series, but that tournament is obviously going to determine, I think, postseason fates for the most part, probably.
Definitely.
How do you prepare? How do you get ready for that? No matter what happens against North Texas, it's going to be obviously pivotal, that tournament. And is it easier almost knowing you got to win it to get in, or, you know, does it make it tougher? How do you kind of deal with all that?
Yeah, I mean, we should be in the tournament already. Like, I don't know how the numbers work out, but I mean, this series just for seeding for the tournament, it's huge. Cause if you're one of the number one or number two seed, then you don't have to play until the second day of the tournament, which starts double elimination. So, I mean, it's huge to get, you know, a good seeding, and it just sets you up to be in a better spot for the tournament. But we'll just have to see how it all pans out, for sure.
When you look at this season and what you all have been through, I mean, you know, you seniors have been through a ton. You look at the COVID year and that shutting down a year in which you started out much like this year, started out red hot. How difficult has it been to come back from COVID and sort of get your legs and everybody getting back into a rhythm and resume normalcy, considering that for the better part of a year and a half, it was, you know, even workouts and the schedule. People don't understand that side of a student athlete, do they? Like, everything was so flipped upside down for so long. It's sort of like this is just now when you're getting your legs back and getting back to normal.
For sure. I mean, this is the first full season we've been able to play since 2019. I mean, obviously the year got cut short in 2019 when COVID started, but even last year it was the first year we've ever opened up at home just because we kept, you know, having COVID pop up and having to cancel games. You know, we didn't play near as many games as, you know, we should have last year. And it's just hard to get on a roll. I mean, you don't know, you know, who's going to be available this weekend if we have a COVID outbreak, and, you know, we can't use our locker rooms to where it's hard to, you know, just kind of be around your team. You have to wear masks, workouts are different, everything's different. So I think this year it's the first, I mean, normal year we've had, and just being able to get on a roll and, like, you know, be able to play the 40 plus games that we play and not have to worry about as many cancellations or, you know, different travel restrictions. It's been great to finally, you know, have some normalcy again.
Yeah, shift gears a little bit here. One of your former teammates is now a coach in high school. Were you aware of this?
Oh, yeah. Mathis, the country. Oh, yeah.
And doing quite well. I mean, they're the top seed in what's arguably one of the toughest sections in the state. And I got to see her coach against Megan, which was kind of fun and surreal. But
yeah.
How much do you keep up with teammates with that kind of stuff, and what's the chances we see you coaching someday soon?
You know, me and Megan have definitely talked about it, because I'll be finishing up my second degree next year, so I'll have some time on my hands if I do decide to coach a little bit. But no, with Mathis, I think it's just crazy to think back when we were in high school. Nitro was not a top tier program in West Virginia. I mean, in AA they were, you know, winning maybe 10 games a season. And now to see, obviously she has her little sister and, like, you know, a lot of talent in there now, but seeing what she's been able to do with, you know, the Nitro team, it's pretty crazy to see. I just still look at her as, you know, the sophomore when I was a senior, and, you know, now she's ahead of the program. I'm really happy for her.
That makes me feel ancient. Like, there have been so many moments this year. Like, you're all senior day, Katie. I was like, God, I'm old. Like, my daughter's a freshman. You all are graduating. Mathis is a coach. Jack just looked at me like, your daughter's a freshman. Yes, she's a freshman at Ashland. I got to see Katie coaching in the Tri-State Showcase a few weeks ago. And it's just like, this is 22 years of doing this stuff. And it feels like it just started yesterday. It's crazy.
I tell you what.
And the funny thing to think about is Kirsten, who's, you know, older than Katie Mathis, she still has 3 years of eligibility with everything that she's through. So it's going to be a long time before Kirsten, you know, gets out. And we're happy to see that she's, you know, finally healthy-ish, going to get on the right track again. But, yeah, we keep in touch a lot. Me, Jamie, Kirsten, Mathis, Scruggs, Lindsay Ferris, and Tori Green, we still have a group message. We talk in every week, maybe even every day. So we definitely keep in touch, seeing how everyone else's season's going. And then you have Mathis, who's about to get married and is coaching. So she's on a lot different track than we are right now. But, yeah, we definitely keep in touch.
I didn't know she was about to get it. Know that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's engaged. I think she's getting married either this summer or fall, I believe.
I tell you the funniest part, and you'll remember this, is back when you guys were playing, she was the last kid I wanted to interview. She hated it. Like, hated
she hated
me.
She hated it like you hate public speaking.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah. Couldn't stand it.
And she just always seemed quiet. But I tell you, Katie, they were playing, let's see, was it Sissonville down in Nitro, and they made three errors in one inning, and they finally get the third out. And Mathis comes storming out of the dugout, just ripping into that team. And I thought, you know what? She's going to make it. Like, I didn't know she had that in her. And it was pretty impressive. And then they scored like seven the next inning and won the game. So she's legit, man. She's doing good stuff down there. So
speaking of all this, Katie, I'm going to put you on the spot. if I can get HD Media to sponsor a co-ed softball team, can I just bring that 2017 team of you all down and just not really tell anybody and us just, you know, print and I'll sit back and
we'll manage,
you know, drink Monster.
I'm down for it. I can kind of rally all the beverages back up.
Well, the one thing that is happening, and I'm going to have to borrow your dad this summer because the Bathus versus Pritt Home Run Derby is happening this summer.
Uh-oh.
How bad do
you... I don't think you want my dad throwing to Katie Mathis, though.
I mean, I'm going to beat Katie. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying he's thrown her enough batting practice, you know.
That is true. Maybe I'll have your dad throw to me and Grant can throw to Katie.
Well, Katie won't hit anything if I'm throwing to her because...
That's the point.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that would not work out well. We might have to live stream that.
No, we're going to. Jack's calling it. Yeah. Jack and Brandon are announcing it.
I might have to get on the action.
Yeah. Katie, you need to come up and get in on the action.
Katie's been out of the game. I think she's probably just only hitting fungo these days.
That's what she's got warning track power now. I'm not worried about that. All I do is hit bombs.
Shots fired.
We need to do a celebrity home run derby. Get sponsors. Make it an all-day event.
This has been a year-long plan, and Katie's already in.
We do it the weekend before the state tournament.
Well, if Nitro's in the state tournament, I'm not going to do that to her if they're in. So we'll have to see. But, hey, Katie, while we got you, we'll end with this. I know, like you said, you had senior day and all that, and you're working on a second degree. What's next for you? What do you got degree-wise, and what are you looking to do when this all ends?
Yeah, so I graduated with my exercise science degree this semester, and I am double majoring and getting a second degree in psychology. I plan to get a master's in psych after I finish the degree and become a sports psychologist.
You will make tons in this area because there are so many head cases running around this area right now in sports.
I was even talking to my dad about it, and, you know, he's happy that I finally, you know, it was a long, long time before I figured out what I wanted to do. And I told him, I said, I know that when I was in middle school, if I was going through a slump or if I was having some issues, I know that you'd have been paying for me to go and see a sports psychologist if there was one in the Valley. So he said, yeah, I'm excited. And especially with everything going on with, you know, student athletes and mental health, like it's a good field to go into right now. And, you know, be able to stay around athletics and help, you know, people going through the same things that, you know, I've been able to experience through my 5 years of college athletics. I think it's something that I'll enjoy doing, and I think that was one of the biggest things when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. I had 5 years of college to try to figure it out, and I just now figured it out in my fifth year. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, plus you can just look.
Really excited for the next step.
Plus you can just look at a client and be like, look, I mean, I made the worst base running blunder in the history of state softball. I mean, if I can overcome that and have the success I've had, look what you can do, you know?
Yeah, we could have had that 38 or 39-0, or 30, I don't remember how many it was, but it's
37-1.
Yeah, that's tough. But
you can tell he's been sitting on this for a while because he's got it ingrained in his brain.
She'll tell you. I bring this up every time I see her. Have to. Yep. It's an obligation at this point. So.
Cameron Mahalis is on, you know, at Marshall now.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about it every once in a while. Because she was the one that told me that Kirsten took off because I did not watch a bit of film from that game. I wanted to erase that from my memory as fast as possible. But she was like, you know, Kirsten took off too. And I said, yeah, but Kirsten could have realized her mistake, went back and tagged up and still scored.
You didn't have that luxury, unfortunately.
No, I did not have that luxury at all.
Well, being slower than Kirsten Landers is nothing to be embarrassed about.
I
will say this, and I know that, you know, the loss on Saturday was a tough one for everybody, but it did bring me back to another parallel, too, that the last time there was a Marshall team that was going through an undefeated stretch like what you all were and then suffered a loss on senior day, 2014 Marshall football, and those guys went on to win a CUSA championship. So
I'm hoping that history repeats itself here at Marshall.
There you go. So. Just a little silver lining at the end of that for you all. But it's been a lot of fun covering you all this. I think the most impressive thing for me has been that there hasn't been enough seating for your all's fans this year. I mean, every time I've gone to a game, and there were some 40-degree games that were miserable, that I was up in the box with Scott Hall and looking down, and even through those, I mean, the amount of support that you all have drawn for softball, it really shows the love for softball in this state and the success that you all have had. So kudos for that, and congratulations on a great career at Marshall.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I think they do have plans, especially entering the Sun Belt. And I mean, there's going to be improvements to facilities all over Marshall with this jump to a different conference. So I know they have some plans to improve the softball field. I know they're talking about getting like a new scoreboard and video board and more seating. And with the warehouse coming down behind the field, I'm sure that's going to open up some more opportunity to have some improvements done. So,
yeah. And I kid with you because I care about you, Katie. So we're all rooting for you guys, and we'll all be watching as Marshall travels to the West to take on North Texas and then goes into the Conference USA tournament. So best of luck. Appreciate you calling in. Always fun. And hey, if you pick up a coaching job, let one of us know, and we'll come out and hang out for a while.
For sure. Maybe catch me at Hurricane next year. You never know.
And I'm going to catch you this summer when I'm whooping Mathis's rear end. I want that.
Yeah, because he's going to need therapy.
You'll have to coach him through that one.
Give me a few years and I'll be able to help you through that loss.
I'm going to need the therapy that's going on behind us. Yeah, exactly. It won't be psychological. Exactly. It'll be me not being able to walk for 3 days. Yeah, so.
Physical and mental. He's going to be sore.
Have you not been on the golf course, Ryan?
It's Grant will tell you, it's never pretty out there either.
Oh, man, it's never pretty. And he's still whipping my hind end by 10 strokes around. So.
Yeah, no.
That's my next plan. I got to find something to do. So
golf.
Hey, you take up golf, and you give Grant and I a call, and we'll come show you how not to play the game, and we'll have a good time. All right.
Yeah, I got Steve Hatt to teach him, so.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, Katie, and we will talk soon, okay? Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
And that's Katie Adams. Always a
great
good time.
Kid.
Oh, my God. Always so much fun. She knew I was coming with that hammer, though. She had to. Every time I see her, it's the first thing I talk about. So you want to take a break, and we'll come back and
we'll take a break
and figure out what's going on elsewhere. Okay.
There you go.
We'll be right back.
Be right.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Jack Withrow Show with Grant Traylor and Ryan Pritt without Brandon Lowe. It's a problem.
Keeping it fresh every time.
I was going to say, Brandon's already not feeling well. He's back there like, he's just writing me out of this thing right now.
The only thing we know, it's a podcast. That's the only thing. I think the first time we were on here, Brandon called it the podcast, and now that's stuck. So.
Not sure where prod.
Because prod's a funny word. That's when you
just going with radio prod? I don't know.
Turn up the video. Anyway, for a minute, let's touch on the Marshall baseball thing we brought up on off air. While we got this guy to the right, you know, might as well use him a little bit here. So what's going on that front, Grant? Fill us in.
Well, I know that everybody in Huntington has heard this for 50 years. I mean, but there is going to be a baseball stadium coming to Huntington. Christian Spears, who is Marshall's athletic director, has really made that a focal point. He's talked about it on numerous occasions, had meeting after meeting after meeting. Like, that is his number one goal right now, is to, you know, not only help Marshall get to the Sun Belt Conference and make a successful transition there, but the baseball stadium. I mean, the first week that he took over as athletic director, within a 7-day span, Marshall had 2 games at the YMCA Kennedy Center field that were suspended due to darkness because they don't have lights at a Division I facility. And he just flat out, he speaks his mind. He said, that's embarrassing. Like, we cannot have that as a university, and we will not have that as a university. And so I do not believe that stadium will be built where the plans that were set forth a couple years ago originally stated on Fifth Avenue. I think that's going to go in behind Marshall softball field at some point. I don't know that 100%, but there's some logistical issues with the grounds there at Fifth Avenue. And you know, the way that's structured, that would be such a tight fit that you couldn't build around the stadium. And what they want to do is they not only want to have baseball, they want to make that an event site. They want to be able to, you know, potentially host concerts and host events there in the future. And if they're going to
prep state tournament,
you know, very, very easily could host a prep state tournament, or even, you know, maybe build some smaller fields around it. And sort of what like Barbersville and Shawnee have done, turn youth, you know, help youth sports out.
Yeah.
Marshall wouldn't be over that portion of it, but there's plenty of land back behind Marshall softball field. For those that have been there, it goes all the way to the river. You know, and there's some logistical things, but they want that to be on campus. But the Fifth Avenue site would be, I mean, there's a lot of logistical issues. I think there's a water main that runs underneath that property that not only serves West Virginia, but also Ohio and Kentucky. So there'd be a lot of, you know, tape that would have to, you know, you'd have to go through to get that ready for a baseball stadium. And the fact of the matter is that they want this thing by 2024. And that's something that Christian Spears has told me, you know, out of his own mouth. He said, yeah, you know, we've got to bump this thing up. So I do expect within, I believe the athletics committee meets in June is their next meeting. Nothing was announced this past week, week and a half. But from what I hear, I would expect some more news in June as far as the logistics for the baseball stadium and the next step forward. But he's being very aggressive. And the thing that that impresses me about Christian Spears is he's a sports version of Brad Smith, who took over as Marshall University president. Big energy guy, big dreams, and just tireless workers. I mean, you know, I've talked to him on several occasions where he's been, you know, on the road back and forth, going to meet with donors and things like that. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, today I've been at it, and we'll have a 17-hour day, and then we'll get up and do it again tomorrow. And that's – if you're going to make it a Marshall with the state of Division I athletics now, that's what's going to be necessary to make them make the next step with the Sun Belt. But he's sort of determined, you know, okay, people say we can't do this. People say we're not going to do this. Fine, we'll show them that we're going to do this. So it's really exciting to see and kind of refreshing to see in Huntington.
Yeah, you got to have somebody in that position that's aggressive, for one, and that can think outside of the box, because you got to be creative.
Yeah, and he that 100%, him and Brad Smith both are on the same wavelength with that. And I think that, you know, Marshall made a very good hire. And I have all the respect in the world for Jeff O'Malley. Like, I've known that guy since I started in this business, and a lot of Marshall people weren't necessarily thrilled whenever they went outside to bring somebody in. But those two working together because of O'Malley's knowledge of Marshall University, of the landscape of Huntington, you know, the feel that he's gotten for the university, plus Christian Spears, an outside-the-box thinker that's, you know, going to produce money and sort of, you know, he's not afraid to spend money, too. You know, he knows that it's going to cost some things, but he's not afraid to do that instead of, you know, counting costs and things like that. So it's going to be very exciting over the next few months to see, like Katie was talking, I mean, even the softball field's not old. I mean, I think that it's, what, a decade maybe? Mm-hmm. I think 2013 is when it opened, and already they're looking at expansion and doing some upgrades there. So that's, you know, the generality is that Marshall is going to vastly improve its facilities over the next little bit to get ready for the Sun Belt so they can be a top-tier team in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, we had Coach Huff on a couple of weeks ago, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's important. I'm talking about the baseball
stadium.
Yeah,
that's one of the things he brought
when
up.
He brought it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and that, I mean, that's another facility. Like, if you're a football recruit and you come to Marshall and there's baseball players, you know, taking ground balls on the turf there, and they don't do that necessarily as much anymore, but they used to do that because, you know, George Smales Field, if there was rain or something like that. If you're a football player and you see baseball players out on your turf, you know, taking ground balls, things like that, you know, that might be a little bit of a turnoff. So, you know, Charles Huff gets it that, you know, all sports need to be at tip-top shape to be able to recruit, especially against the Sun Belt, because there's some talent-rich areas that they're going to be going against. You look at Myrtle Beach, you look at Louisiana and Mississippi and those areas, they're going to have to step their game up to be successful. Otherwise, it's going to be a long 4 or 5 years for Marshall. So they're actively getting after it, and that starts with the baseball facility.
Yeah, as a baseball guy that I am, I'm excited for the Sun Belt Marshall.
Wearing that baseball shirt today, isn't he?
It's a good-looking shirt.
It is.
You guys weren't here, but off air.
I got my umpire hat on.
That'll be my poll. That I always run like a weird poll. What was it last week that I said after the – did you or did you not turn your air conditioner on this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Me? I wasn't home
this
weekend.
This is this week's, guys. Do you or do you not rock short-sleeve hoodies?
I mean –
I know both of you got one.
We got them on.
This poll's going to be a 66% yes.
I'm pulling the Twitter people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just asking.
When it's given to me for free, yes.
That's a whole other. Yeah, but see, that doesn't even count on the poll because I wear anything.
But I've bought some of those.
I love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So comfortable because.
Again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't have any.
It's a comfort issue. And you know, we're out at field so much. Like I said, if there's a pop-up rainstorm or something like that, then, yeah, you've got the hood. It can protect you. But honestly, I just like the feel of them. Yeah. I love these things. I could live in this and dry fit. Yeah. I pretty much do, to be honest with you. So. Yeah.
Okay. We'll see what the folks on the net say today.
I'm going to get HD Media to make us some hoodies.
Sleeve hoodies.
What is it, the Cricut or whatever it is where you like paste things on? It's like some sort of we'll get some HD Media.
We need like
short sleeve hoodies,
like a podcast shirt that just has all of our names randomly because you don't know who's going to be there on which day, and then it's just one of those the blank show with blank, and then there's just all these names you can move around.
Just pick a name.
We'll have print on the back of it like a tramp stamp.
Hey, I have 3 tattoos and none of them are back there. Thank you.
Not yet.
I'm looking for more though. I don't really know how to transition off that, but I'm going to try it. How do you guys feel about the fact that the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl next year? How was that?
Speaking of crickets.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, what the Jets did in the NFL draft last week was unbelievable.
Oh, it was unreal.
Did you see the draft that they had?
We talked about this Friday. I can't get into the NFL draft. Matter of fact, I turned over and watched Florida State and Oklahoma State that night in softball.
Yeah, and look,
it was a great game.
I was not sitting around and watching the draft, but I do look at who went where afterwards.
Yeah.
And the fact that they their first 4 picks, you could argue, were 4 of the, 15 best college football players in the country last year?
Absolutely.
Sauce Gardner, Johnson from Florida State, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, and then Breece Hall in the second round. And this is a team last year, I don't know how much you – me and Brandon talked about this a lot last year. I got way more into the NFL last year than I've ever been, and I'm not really sure why. I think it's partly because of the playoff system in college football. It just kind of ruins it a little bit. At least in the NFL, it doesn't matter what's on the side of your helmet. If you win enough games, you're going to have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Well, you know? And not to look back at the past, but COVID. I mean,
that too.
You were taken out of sports for so long that you were just itching for anything to come back.
Yeah.
Like that's how I was. Like, give me – it's almost like when you go on a diet and it's like, all right, the diet's over.
Never done that.
I was waiting on it. I was like, gosh.
Those Oreo cookies are looking good.
The skinny guy hell about never going on a diet. That was fun.
I weigh more than you do, if I'm not mistaken. I have talked about this on a golf course. You've lost weight. Now I'm sitting at 210. But
okay, see, I got you about 12 pounds.
Yeah, but it's like you when you cut back and you can't wait for that first day when you can just go out and just consume all that you can consume. And that's how America was last year. Yeah. I mean, events that you would have never thought would, you know, be perceived well or get good draws. I mean, everybody was so looking forward to sports coming back. And I feel like some sports kind of missed the boat with it, honestly, and didn't aggressively tackle, you know, what was an opportunity for marketing. And
NASCAR's audience has grown substantially because they were the only thing going during COVID at one point. And they got a lot of fans. But, you know, part of this, and Grant's done this a lot longer than me, when did you start beat writing for Marshall? Obviously, it's not what you're doing right now, but
I started with, if you count it, I started as the beat writer for the Parthenon in 2004-2005. And then I was there for a couple of years, went to Ashland full-time, and covered Marshall sports for Ashland. No, I was more high school than Marshall because Marshall isn't a huge draw in Ashland. But 2006 and 2007, I was in Ashland. And
for almost 20 years.
2000, I was secondary on Marshall Sports from 2007 to 2010 in Huntington, and then took over full-time 2011.
So I've been doing the WU thing for 2 years, and, well, 2 football seasons. And one of the things I never realized would happen, I was such a fan of college football nationally 5 years ago. because I was at home on Saturday. And I could turn the channel and be like, hey, here's Penn State and Ohio State. Let's watch that. When you're, especially for me, when I'm going to travel 5 hours just to get to a home game, I don't have time to watch college football. No. The only college football I see is if it's on Thursday or Friday night or if it's W. That's pretty much it. But the NFL, I would get home on Sunday, as long as the grass was mowed, which is a whole other thing. I would get to, you know, just space out and watch football. So I got to actually watch the NFL this last year. And I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I always thought it was kind of boring, but I really fell into it last year. But the whole reason I said that was, if you all paid attention, I know you did as a Bengals fan, you were rocking it. The Jets were good at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
They beat the Bengals.
Yeah. And they picked up a couple big wins. Wilson, the quarterback, looked pretty good. I'm not kidding you. The Jets might surprise some people in the next couple of years. Really, for the first time in, what, since the Sanchez butt fumble, they have some momentum going.
I don't know if I would call that momentum. I mean,
that was backwards momentum. I don't know.
Yeah, you look at, and, you know, their last really legit year might have been a Pennington year. I mean,
they made the AFC title game twice with Sanchez.
Yeah.
Okay. Back-to-back years. That was the whole Bart Scott can't wait year, right? When he gives the famous interview with Sal Palantonio after they beat maybe the Steelers. I can't remember. But, yeah, they made back-to-back.
2010, they played Indianapolis.
Okay.
In the championship.
And they made it 2 years in a row. The butt fumble was one of those games, I think. Wasn't it? I don't know. Anyway, it's been a while. We'll say that. And let's just say that that's been, you could argue, one of the three worst for franchises in the NFL in the last 10 years. Them, Detroit, and I don't know, insert team here. I don't know. But definitely those two. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I'll say this. I talked to Vinny Curry about a week and a half ago now at Marshall's bowl-a-thon that they had during spring game weekend. And that's when he was surprised with the knowledge that he'd be in Marshall Athletics Hall of Fame. He spoke about the Jets organization very highly. He said, you know, because he missed last season, he had signed with them and then missed last season due to a blood disorder and had to have his spleen removed, and pretty scary situation. He said that even though, like, it happened, you know, very soon after he had signed with the Jets and he missed the entire season, he said the Jets organization just was terrific with him and his family keeping up with them and sort of going that extra mile. And that's why he re-signed with them, was because he had six teams kind of interested in him. And he said that the fact that the Jets were that loyal, I had to be loyal to them. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe things are turning around up there.
Something to watch next year for sure. You probably get some pretty good betting odds on that. Might have to look that up, see if I can't lose some money today. Jack, you want to give us a couple good minutes on the MEC? What's going on?
Winding down regular season in the baseball and softball MEC. Softball, we winded down this past weekend, so their softball conference tournament will take place down in Salem, Virginia.
Okay.
At a very nice complex down there.
I've heard good things about that place. Yeah.
Moyer Complex, so that'll get started next week. And baseball in their final – next weekend will be the final regular season series. UC and State will finish off their regular season.
It's always fun.
The four-game series. They'll play two down at the Institute, then turn around. That'll be on Friday, I believe, this Friday, and then turn around on Sunday and play two at UC.
The double dip.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, a lot of teams in the Mountain East Conference do that. Yeah. I know Glenville State and Concord are doing the same thing. They'll play two down at Concord, and then 2 days later, on Sunday, they'll play two at Glenville State. And the reason why I mentioned those two teams is the South Division. You've got UC, Concord, Glenville State right behind Concord, and then West Virginia State. It's packed in there at 2, 3, 4. So it's going to be interesting here this last weekend of baseball. Of course, Concord and UC are playing today.
Yeah. Good weather today.
Yeah, they played Saturday up at UC, and UC took two of them from them.
Okay.
And UC's ace, they saved him for today, which is rare. Usually you see him in the first game.
Yeah.
And they kind of mixed it up, and so he's on the mound for the game one. He's 7-0. Ethan Sederna, he's a transfer from Ohio Wesleyan and a grad student up there. He's a pretty good arm. So they've got two this afternoon with Concord up at the Welch Athletic Complex. So. And then the Mountain East Conference track and field taking place up at Glenville State, which I was at the past 2 days. late last night.
Two and three quarters.
The lightning literally stopped everything on the last event. The men's 10K, they were on the starting line, and the guy with the gun was getting ready to fire it off, and they pulled everybody off and sent everybody up to the Waco Center.
That's almost as bad. Jack and I were at remember the regional baseball game last year with two outs in the last inning, and it got rained delay.
Yeah, so
that was such a long day, too.
They were there. They finally got that one started at 9:55 last night. So
that road weary.
I am.
Yeah,
but I'm here.
Okay.
So
yeah, Jack doing a heck of a job over there. Fighting through adversity right there.
Just to That's what we do. We power
edit
through.
Edit our show with who the hell knows is going to come in the room on this week's podcast. But
short sleeve hoodies.
I was in Glenville State, or in Glenville, for the past 2 days. I never got an autograph from Kim Stevens. I'm kind of disappointed.
It's a missed opportunity.
I'm going to have
there.
To get on.
We'll have to have her on sometime.
Jesse Skiles, the athletic director up there. It's a great guy. He's a former DuPont Panther.
Nice.
Played up there in the late 70s. Then he went to Glenville State and was up there a long time, track and field coach at Wesleyan, now back as the AD at Glenville State. Does a great job up there. So, yeah, I didn't even get any national championship gear.
We need something for the room.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A sticker or something.
I'm gonna have to holler at him, tell him bring me something down to the baseball tournament
somewhere or something.
So the MEC baseball tournament again here, that'll get started later on here in May down at Epling Field in Beckley. So
very cool. I guess locally it's prep time, right?
Yeah,
sure is.
Sectional softball starts today, and say me and this guy to the right, we have two areas that are a little bit rich in this sport, and there are some sections this week. I know he's got one, and I've got two over here that are – one of them's always wide open, and then one suddenly got wide open last week, and then he's got the – with the Midland-Lincoln County Spring Valley Battle Royale.
Crazy.
And, you know, that one to me – and it's funny, you know, a few weeks ago I was talking softball to somebody, and I said, you know, the biggest snake in the grass in state Spring Valley, because people – Cabell Midland's your defending champ, and they, you know, they had a really good season – and then Lincoln County started getting a lot of headlines because they started like 10-0, and they are really good. I've seen them three times, and very good team. And Spring Valley was doing was just kind of hiding out, beating teams 4-3, 5-2, beat South Charleston, beat Hurricane, you know, picking up these big wins. And then last week I saw them. That's a team capable of doing some damage in this postseason, isn't it?
That team can beat anybody at any time. Like, they are the biggest – if there is a dark horse, you were talking about odds.
Yeah.
Like, that is a team that you would get terrific odds on because they're in a section with the defending state champ and Lincoln County, whose power is just
unbelievable.
Unreal.
Actually, just their lineup. They have so much. They have everything. They got speed. They got power. They got kids that hit for average. They've got two good arms.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, if I had to say the most complete AAA team I've seen, it probably is them, like on an average day. But this just feels like AAA is more wide open this year than it has been in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Lincoln County, 1, 3, 4, 5, and 7 hitters can all go yard at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it down in Ashland a few weeks ago, and they are just so solid. Tommy Barrett's got things going with them. But you wonder if the adrenaline for that section is going to be so high. Is there a letdown once whoever advances out of that section? Is there a little bit of – it's hard to emotionally stay on top of your game for the entire postseason. A lot of sections are, you know, one or two teams, and that's it. This is a – if you don't show up and on Huntington –
yeah, Huntington almost beat Hurricane out last week. Yeah.
And Huntington, nobody says anything about that. But that's the number four team. And in a lot of sections, they might be a solid number two. I mean, it's going to be an absolute war. Looking forward to that at Lincoln County this week. I know we're covering it. And I'll be
– so is that whole thing at Lincoln County?
Yeah, the whole thing's at Lincoln County starting tomorrow night. And so my week is – I'm going to have to get an oil change before the end of the week because my daughter – who plays for Ashland, I've got to go to Wheelersburg, who is one of the top teams, should win a state title in Ohio. So I think it's go to Raceland tonight, Raceland, Kentucky, Wheelersburg tomorrow. I'll be at Lincoln – or Wheelersburg Wednesday, I think. I'll be at Lincoln County tomorrow night and Thursday, And then they go to Lawrence County, Kentucky this week, too. And then Bath County for two. So, yeah, I'm going to put some miles on old girl this week. But a lot of fun. Like I said, I mean, this is a time of year that we all live for. The weather is improving. Yeah. Knock on wood. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I know your all's weekend wasn't great. But it's going to be a lot of fun watching the West Virginia postseason sort of fall out. And we've put a lot of hours into our scheduling. You and I have talked about that whenever you weren't having some of the craziest stuff ever happen. We were talking schedules and probably put in about, I would say, a solid 15 to 18 hours this week just trying to figure out schedules to, you know, make sure that we've got everything covered while he goes fishing.
Yeah, sorry. Well, that's the thing. And he'll tell you, other than maybe the amateur, this is like my favorite week of the year because this is
it's great.
Basketball state tournaments too. But this is – and. Like, he's got one of these, and there's two more of them over here. And real quick, I do want to touch on the fact that while we're in Hurricane, they're pretty good, too. They're one seed, and they've got the inside track to get whoever comes out of that Section O death that he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because they got to take care of Ripley, Parkersburg, and Parkersburg South first, and in this sport, there is no gimme. So, but over toward this way, you know, the one obvious one is the AA Region 4 Section 2, where you've got Winfield, Nitro, and Sissonville. Not only them, but Point Pleasant, who, if there's a school that has owned another school in any sport more weirdly than Point Pleasant has taken out Winfield in the last 10 years in softball, I don't know what it is. It's the most dumbfounding thing I've ever seen.
It's a mental block.
And Point's really good, and they've had really good teams. But there are times Winfield, what people don't realize, the first title that Hoover won in 17, Winfield had the best team in the state, period. The end. Cartney and Emily's senior year, they were the best. I saw them go to Hoover and sweep Hoover. I saw them beat Chapmanville that year. They were the best team in the state. And Point Pleasant comes down and just knocks them off 2 out of 3 and says thanks for the sectional title.
Yep.
And that's happened so many times. And Winfield's a 3 seed. Kennedy Dean's hitting .580. This is the best hitter in our area this year. There's a kid from St. Albans. I'll get to in a second. It's close. .588 home runs. I mean, going to Youngstown State, she plays shortstop and catcher. This kid's a good player. And the last 2 years in this section, the 3 seed won it last year, and the 4 seed won it in 2019, and they went to the state tournament. So you're the 4 seed in your section, and you get to the state tournament. That's the kind of section we're talking about. So,
and don't forget about POCA, because POCA took everybody to
Nitro
the wire.
And Hurricane both the 10 innings,
so,
and they're the 5 seed.
Yeah.
And they have one senior and 2 juniors. Nitro's 6-0, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Lena Elkins is posting Delaney Buckner numbers. It's crazy, her numbers right now, and making one hell of a statement toward possible awards later this year. I mean, she's pitched every inning but one. She's averaging 2.2 strikeouts an inning. She's walked like 23. And, oh, by the way, she's hit 5 home runs. This kid, I mean, I hope people appreciate what she's done this year, because I mean, I watched her strike out 19 Hurricane hitters. And I had an area coach who's coached a while that I'll tell you off air told me, and they've been around for 20 years, that she right now is the best pitcher his teams have ever faced. That includes Andy Williamson, that includes Allie Burdett, that includes Delaney Buckner, that includes everybody. Now, I'm not saying that. That's what I was told. So if you get a chance to see her, make it out to see her, because that's good. And then, oh, by the way, there's just Sissonville who did it all last year. So good luck trying to come out of that one. And then, of course, the other one. You know, St. Albans with the returning state player of the year, Taven Stevenson, who committed to Kentucky when she was 12, I think, 13. She's back, and I think, you know, they lost 6 seniors, but they start out 15-1 or whatever, and everyone's thinking, well, you know, South Charleston's having a decent year, but it's probably St. Albans. And all of a sudden, St. Albans has lost 3 out of 4, and they got beat by GW last week, who's 11-11. And, oh, by the way, Stevenson pitched that game. So GW, South Charleston, and St. Albans suddenly looks like a lot more fun over there in Region 3 than we thought it was going to be. So that's going to be one to keep track of if you're around this area for sure, too.
Yeah, but if we're talking right now, I think South Charleston's a favorite in that. I hate to go against it, like, because they have put together some performances. When they need to get pitching, they've been able to get pitching. When they've needed to get bats going, they've gotten bats going. And so it's going to be really interesting, because there is a little bit – I don't want to call it a misfire, because St. Albans is so talented. Like, they are. They're a talented team. But sometimes it just doesn't click at the right times, and that's sort of what seems like is going on at St. Albans right now. They could easily get it going and postseason turn it up, but South Charleston has been the most consistent out of that section.
Well, here's the interesting part. Heading into this section, St. Albans is 1-3 in their last four. South Charleston's 3-5 in the last eight. Mm-hmm. GW 7-1 in their last eight.
That's crazy.
GW has not been talked about all year long. Not ever. Not once. And I mean, Anna Jimenez, who's their ace, is good. Now, she's not striking out 280 like Lena Elkins. She needs some help from their defense. The biggest difference with them is they have been a lot better fielding the last 5 to 7 games than they were early. If they can field the ball, they have bats. They've got a good pitcher. They can beat anybody. But South Charleston, their only thing is they've been in a horrendous hitting slump as of late. Now, this has coincided with them seeing good pitching. The first part of their schedule wasn't great. The second half has been really tough. So have they seen enough good pitching now to flip the switch and get hits when they need to? It almost seems like they're due. I really like that team a lot. They have two pitchers that are both effective. I don't know how that one shakes out, man. It's going to be awfully fun to watch, but I'll be watching from a beach chair, so you guys have, let me know how it goes.
I'm going with St. Albans because Michaela Wall is in the dugout over there.
I just
you talk about getting old.
Yeah.
I was crazy down there watching St. Albans and Hurricane with you, and I look over, and I'm like, man, she looks familiar. It's Michaela Wall. I played at Cabell Midland. I'm like, wait, what? She's coaching?
And that's the thing. All year long, like, I have conversations with other sports writers who cover prep sports, and they're like, who's going to win Triple A? Now, first of all, I've heard Washington's really good, and this screams to me of a year where someone from the north finally comes down here and just does it. I think Oak Glen and Double A is really good, too. But you just keep looking at Stevenson. I know that they've lost, and I know she's gotten beat a couple times. She was a state player of the year last year. She should be the best pitcher in the state of West Virginia. She's an absolute ace. She's the best pitcher in that region. And usually when worse comes to worse, I want that kid. I want the kid that's going to go out and strike out 15 in 7 innings. I want to take my chances with that. So can she be that kid? Like, where is this at? So
you mentioned Washington. Washington was seeing them in Charleston last year covering Cabell Midland's run. There were two or three plays away from really making noise. I mean, they took on Cabell Midland. They took on St. Albans. And even though, you know, they ended up falling, it was a dogfight. And they were a terrific team. And if I remember, they only had one senior on that team last year.
They've been knocking on this door for a while. I mean, back to Katie Adams' days, Washington would show up at the state tournament. And back then, the gap was this. And you've seen it do this every year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people forget Oak Glen was in the driver's seat in Double-A. Hoover had to beat them twice in a row, and they had a 5-0 lead in the fifth inning of the second game. Yeah. And closed the door just that quick. So I think what's cool is watching the North slowly catching up. You can see it. There's more and more teams that get down here now that are able to hold their own. The North-South game, the North won the series last year for, like, the first time in 15 years. So the sport's still growing, and that's really cool to see. And you're going to see some good stuff this week. So you going to any, or are you going to be now that I'm not showing up with seed, you just going to stick around now?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, you know what day it is sometimes.
It's Monday. It's the start of sectional day, and I think we've got 5 games today and about 9 or 10 tomorrow. And
forecast not looking great, though.
Not for tomorrow. Yeah, that's why this week's schedule, I was joking around with Nick Scala and talking to him last night about our schedules and photo assignments and things like that. I was like, you know that, you know, I've put all this into this week just for Tuesday to be a complete wash, and then we've got to scrap it and do it all over. But hopefully, you know, we get some games in because, like you said, there's some terrific, terrific softball postseason action coming up. And, oh, by the way, the MSAC baseball tournament's at Appy Power Park tonight and tomorrow, too. So that should be a lot of fun.
Oh, by the way, one more. Mann, Sherman, and Buffalo in the same section. They're all 3-3 against each other.
Yeah.
They're the top three seeds.
Seeing that Mann was, a 3 seed in that section.
And by the way, they have one of the 2 to 3 best pitchers I've seen all year regardless of class. Morgan Cooper's unbelievable. Yeah. So definitely check that one out too.
A lot of fun, and all of them are HD media properties. Yeah. And so, you know, there's papers there, and we're gonna have it covered throughout the postseason. Yeah. So look forward to writing plenty of feature stories and talking some of this on here with you all some more.
Yeah, it's, I should have mentioned from the top that Grant's my boss now, so he gets to coordinate all this. See, he loves it when I do that.
The quarterback. I'm not a boss. I'm a teammate. That's how we rock. Bosses wear suits and speak eloquently. I'm sitting there in a short sleeve hoodie and getting ready.
How come you didn't bring the drinks?
Oh, that's true. See, your boss. He makes the money.
Quarterbacks. That's what we do.
Take care of your.
He makes all the money.
We take. I wasn't gonna say offensive lineman.
Jack, I need, like, for a pod in a week, I need you in a short sleeve hoodie and shorteroys.
I've got.
I'm telling you that outfit
right
there. I don't
have shorteroys.
That outfit right there would go in, like, a GQ magazine somewhere.
That may be something for the state softball tournament.
Oh, my God. It will show up in that.
We'll get our photographers to take some cannons of you.
All right, guys. Well, anything else we want to throw? Thanks to Video Productions, to HD Media. Probably should have done this twice. What a rookie move.
You're still learning.
Yeah. Thanks to Snap Fitness, Generations Physical Therapy.
Got that right.
All right. See, still, I'm 3 for 3 on that going back to last week.
Yeah.
Can find us on Spotify. Can find us on Apple?
Apple,
Google, yep. YouTube yet?
Yep. Yeah. We're on YouTube, HD Media's YouTube.
We'll be tweeting.
Productions. So, we'll of course, Facebooking. On Facebook. Yep.
And we'll be throwing a poll out today about the short sleeve hoodie. I just want to know, just for my own curiosity. I use you guys to learn. So, and again, check out HD Media all week for all your sports concerns. But really going to bring you some softball stuff this week. It's going to be good, right?
Yeah, we're going to be softball heavy, and obviously stay tuned to our website too. We're going to, you know, we're moving into that digital phase, jumping in with both feet. Obviously, Jack and Video Productions have been great to work with as well. So we want to do this thing right, and we're going to amp this thing up. As soon as spring sports sort of die down, we're all going to meet and brainstorm, and
then we'll go right into the VGA season.
That's exactly. We might stream golf this summer. Who knows? God. Not Pritt's golf. That's what we need to do. We need to get Pritt with the
Comedy
WVGA
hour.
Guys and just stream them golfing, because that is worth
the
price.
I just want to note that after one hole last year at the West Virginia Amateur, I would have had the lead.
He would have. He eagled.
I was the only player in the house to eagle hole one that day.
No, how'd the rest of that round go, though? My gosh. Might have been the best I've ever golfed.
I was 2 under. I think it was 2 under through one and 5 over through three. That's how good it was.
I was feeling really good because I parred one on the Meadows course with the pins in tournament placement, and he eagles the thing, and I'm like, I'm already 2 shots down, and then I proceeded to golf one of the better rounds I've ever golfed.
It was a stomping. So.
But yeah, like I said, the digital aspect of HD Media is something that we're going to grow, much like what Marshall is looking to expand, and I've talked about that. We are too. And so, feel free to email us, contact us with any ideas. We can basically do anything with this bad boy, and we're going to do it. It's going to be an exciting future for HD Media, not just from a print perspective, but how we augment that too and sort of expand the digital phase.
Yeah, and I can speak for Brandon saying we're glad to be a part of all this, man. There was a new wave of energy that came when Jack jumped on board and all of this came on, so he helps us tremendously. This thing looks awesome because of him, obviously. If we can find a way to just, like, mask our faces out, just blur face, that would probably be better. No offense, Brandon, we miss you, buddy.
You did a good job with that ugly hat on.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm
in. You got
two
Cincinnati Reds guys in here today.
That hat looks like it's seen some years, but that might be the last winning season they had, so it might be special.
I am in a pirate strike. I do not buy merch. I do not buy tickets until Bob Nutting sells the team. This is the last hat I'll own, and I'm going to wear it. So
Jack knows where I'm coming from. I'm a Reds fan. Literally, two games into the season, I'm done.
Every podcast asks Jack for a Reds update. You want to give us one?
Not today.
Okay.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
All right. Well, that should about do it for us. Thanks to Grant for coming in and filling in Brandon's shoes. We miss you, buddy. Godspeed. Hope you're okay. Jack, appreciate it as always, man. Always fun to hang out with you.
Thanks, Katie Adams.
Thanks to Katie for
taking a beating from Ryan for about 20 minutes.
She's so good at interviews now, and I'm taking all the credit for that because I made her do them for so long. So,
I got to get Courtney Schoolcraft in here.
Courtney loved, yeah, she loved to see me about it, but she was a lot more polite about it than Mathis. Mathis would just look at me, I don't want to. Courtney would laugh, man. Are you going to make me talk? I'm like, yeah. So
it got to the point where Mathis wouldn't know I was interviewing her. I'd hide the micro recorder underneath my sleeve, and just we would have a conversation, and then she'd be like, so are you going to interview me? I was like, I just did. And she'd get mad and walk off.
Yeah.
So see you, big country.
We'll see her this summer as Katie Mathis takes on Ryan Pritt in a home run derby.
Yep.
That's happening. So anyway, let's jump off here, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks, right. Video Productions, HD Media. We'll see you next, Friday. Sorry.
Yep. See you.